Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Medium Matters. I'm your host Chantel. I have my always bestie with me, Miss Marie Rose.
Hello everybody.
What's up? So before we kick off anything tonight, and I know I always do this in every episode, I just start off like I go on a tangent and then another tangent and then another. But tonight, I really want to say huge props and shout out to my bestie because Marie has been studying for a certain hellish certification, if you will, and she kicked its ass all up and down the state of Florida.
Thank you.
I am so mega proud of you.
It was a bitch of a test.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's a project management professional test, a PMP.
Yes.
And anyone who has attempted it knows that it is a son of a bitch.
It's an MFer.
Yes, it is.
So proud of you. I know how hard you've been studying, and I only know what you've told me. And when I come over to record, and you are exhausted, and she still is in the spirit to get down and record and laugh and cut up with me. So, and then, you know, we go stuff our faces with pasta. Whatever. So I am so excited for you. Now you have your PMP. And, you know, while a lot of people in the world have it, I don't care. I care that you have it.
Oh, thank you, darling.
And that you passed your exam.
Thank you, darling.
That exam is not easy.
No, it's not. It's 4.5 hours.
Yes.
200 questions and 2 months of studying.
Yeah.
It was rough.
No, screw that. To hell with testing and exams and education. Who needs it? Who needs it? Okay, so you guys, it's April and we are now in spring. It is springtime, so the flowers are a bloom, the birds are a chirp, and you know, whatever. So we are going to kick off spring, which, you know, we're like a couple weeks late, whatevs, with the spring equinox, which is Ostara.
Love it.
Literally love spring it. Magic. Spring yes. Magic.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so I just want to start off by explaining to the masses what the difference is between a solstice and an equinox, because honestly, even I didn't know. So every year there are two solstices and two equinoxes, or equinox I.
Are you making it words?
Yes. As per usual. Okay, so here's the nitty-gritty. During an equinox, it's believed that all areas of the Earth's surface experience an equal amount of daylight and darkness, 12 hours each. Right? Right. Okay. So in autumn, the equinox, which is, I believe, September 21st-ish, is in the Northern Hemisphere. And in the spring, the equinox, which is March 20th or 21st, depending on the year, is in the Southern Hemisphere. So the equinoxes are the times of the year where the part of the Earth closest to the sun is the exact equator. So when everything's aligned, everywhere from North Pole to South Pole will get the same amount of sunlight, but only on those two equinoxes in September and March. Clear as mud? Clear as mud.
Got it.
Sandy just came in. We need like an applause thing.
It's a cat.
Sandy cat. Sandy cat.
Yep. Sandy cat has made an appearance.
Yep. Sandy cat.
He heard your voice.
Yeah. We are lovers. In that he loves me a lot less than I love him.
He is just exited.
Yeah.
He's out.
Because he saw me. He's like, I'm done. I'm leaving. Okay. So back on topic. A solstice. So a solstice describes the moment that the sun reaches its northern and southernmost point. So in essence, the sun, it is literally standing. More specifically, it occurs when the sun's path is farthest from the equator. So what does that mean for us? In the Northern Hemisphere, where we are, I hope everybody knows that, remembers that from science class or wherever, geography.
Yeah, geography.
Whatever the hell. So we are in the Northern Hemisphere. So in the Northern Hemisphere, the summer solstice happens in June. And in the Southern Hemisphere, the solstice happens in December. Hence why the seasons are reversed in each hemisphere. So like, you know, I remember hearing Nicole Kidman talk about Christmas in December being hot in Australia. And I was like, the hell?
Opposite.
Right. So it's opposite year. So yeah, so that's what happens. So the winter solstice, which is December 21st. Do you guys see a pattern here? 21st, 21st, 21st. So it's the shortest day of the year, while the summer solstice, June what? 21st. Yes, is the longest day of the year. So basically, the biggest difference between the two is that the solstice is the point during the Earth's orbit around the sun, at which the sun is at its greatest distance from the equator, while during an equinox, it's at the closest distance from the equator. So I know it goes on and on. I just want you guys to understand. And you know what? Now that I'm done saying it, I'm not going to remember it. You're not going to remember it, but you're welcome.
What I like, just I like to remember, is that at the equinox, it's equal length and it's balance.
Mm-hmm.
And just do whatever it is that you like to do to balance yourself, bring balance to your life.
You should be a teacher for kindergarteners like myself. That was a really good way to explain it versus longest day, shortest day. You know what I took out of all that? The 21st. March, June, September, December.
21st.
That's all I got from all that. Okay, so back on topic. Now that we know, or don't, the difference between the solstice and the equinox, what the F is Ostara? Okay, so this Ostara, or the spring equinox, which is what day, Marie?
The 21st
of
March.
That's right.
See, you get a sticker. Yeah, I get a gold star.
You do. You get a gold star. So Ostara, or the spring equinox, is an enchanted borderline time outside of time where a magical seam joins dark and light. Doesn't that sound lovely?
It does sound lovely.
Oh, it's like a little fairy tale. It's like little butterflies and fairies just dancing around on March 21st until 11:59. And they're like, lights out. So from this moment on, the sun god begins his seminal journey across the sky. His light and warmth overtake the darkness of winter until his power peaks at summer solstice in June, which is on the 21st. That's literally all we're going to remember. So Ostara is a time of new fire. The light and dark are in perfect balance, but the light is growing and the sun is about to burst forth with new energy. It is a season of fertility and growth.
New beginnings.
Yes. New beginnings. Okay. So that alone makes me just feel so pumped. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
It's a fresh start.
It's a fresh start.
I mean, look around. Yeah. You know, it's a fresh flowers start. Are starting to bloom. Mm-hmm. And all the, I feel like one of those little fat squirrels that have been hibernating and eating, and it's, yes, like, oh, springtime, oh crap, I need to lose weight. Yeah. You know, and you know, yeah, I feel like I'm a little fat squirrel that just emerged.
That's too
wide. And mm-hmm. It's like, okay, time to exercise and lose weight and looking for the summer.
And an albino squirrel, no less, because listen, I had some shorts on this weekend because it was a little warm. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, just moseying around the house, and I was like, GD, my legs are so pale right now.
Whatever.
Yes.
You're like Dominican.
I know, but in the winter months, I get yellow and my legs are like see-through. It's horrible. Horrible. This is why people make money off of tanning beds. I'm telling you.
Well, we live at the beach. We can fix this.
We do. And I need to quickly go sit on the sun because I need to fry. Because Jesus. Yes. Okay. So back to the topic at hand. So the spring equinox has a lot of names, one of which is Ostara, which we said, and it's a word which comes from Isthra, a Germanic goddess associated with flowers and springtime. So her name, Isthra, also gives us the word Easter. Very cool. So she's just doling out words and names and stuff. So she is the Anglo-Saxon goddess of spring, to whom offerings of cakes and colored eggs, which we know all about colored eggs, Easter, these offerings were made at the vernal equinox, which is the spring equinox, and rabbits, which were, you know, said to be sacred to her, especially white rabbits, and, you know, they were also offered to her, and she was believed to take the form of a rabbit, so quite the goddess.
Yeah, the fertility.
Isthra.
Mm-hmm. Yep, fertility goddess.
Mm-hmm. She's a busy little somebody.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you guys know, Easter, or, you know, the springtime is the time of year where the Christians celebrate Easter. In the Jewish religion, it's it's Passover for the early pagans in the Germanic countries. It was a time to celebrate the new crop season, the plantings, and, you know, get things going again. The Celtics, they didn't celebrate Ostara, but they were in tune with the changing of the seasons, which, you know, that was huge. That was, you know, back in the day and not even that long ago, honestly. Like, I'm going to say mid-century again because I know we've said mid-century on the show. So there was a time when we did not wake up to alarm clocks. We woke up to the sun, went to bed with the moon, and people were very much about
your internal clock.
Yeah, your circadian rhythm,
right.
And, you know, living life that way and farming that way, you know, according to the phases of the moon, which is very cool. I definitely want to learn more about that. I did not research that for this because it doesn't apply. But I think it's really cool that that was a thing and that the earth has been this incredible resource for so long in more ways than, you know, we could ever imagine. And so farmers did do that a lot all around the world. They would go based off of the seasons and what to plant at certain times. And that's still a thing now where they say eat what's in season. Just because you can get a mango in December doesn't mean you should be eating it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that is a summer fruit, like a, you know,
yeah,
squash. It's winter. It's hardier. It's starchy. It's supposed to put the lbs on your body.
Well, it worked.
Mm-hmm. It does work. It does work. So, you know, that's just the little gist of Ostara and where the name comes from and what some of the other faiths practice around the world that time of year. So, I mean, oh my God, so much. Tell us a little bit about the history, Marie.
So you touched on it a little bit. Like for the Saxons, you know, you mentioned they have their festival every year. And when the missionaries converted them to Christians, it became Easter, and to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. And then Easter, as you know, eventually became Easter. And then in old Europe, they used to decorate eggs and give them as gifts to wish family and friends an abundance of prosperity, which that morphed into hiding eggs and having an Easter egg hunt. And you mentioned this as well, the god of light and darkness. I think the Wiccans, mm-hmm. They have their Oak King, which is the god of light, who defeated the Holly King, which is the god of darkness. And then Mother Goddess came to the sun god, and they got married. And guess what? 9 months later, guess what happens? Winter solstice.
Uh-oh. And December 21st.
And a child is born. So funny how all that
mm-hmm.
comes together mm-hmm. when you really look at it. But what I found really interesting, and somebody had told me this a while back, but in researching Ostara, this came up in how our calendar has changed and how subjective our calendar really is, because anybody with authority can change the calendar, I guess. But like the Chinese and the Islamic calendars, their calendar is based on the moon's motion around the earth, whereas our calendar is based on the earth in relation to the sun.
Oh, no doubt. I didn't know that.
And I never understood what the difference between the calendars, you know, why is Chinese New Year different from our New Year? But that's why. But in 45 BC, Julius Caesar moved the beginning of the year from March to January. So the spring equinox used to mark the beginning of the year.
Mm, he's very crafty.
Yeah. And he's like, no, I want it in January.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he changed it. And then during the 5th century, after the fall of the Roman Empire, over the next 200 years, the beginning of the year gradually moved to Christmas Day. And then in the 9th century, Southern Europe said, oh, screw this. March 25th is going to be our spring. It's going to be our new year. Spring is going to be our new year the way it's supposed mm-hmm. to be. And then
which makes sense that they would look at spring as the new year, because it's the rebirth.
Right. It's the new beginning.
Right.
But yeah, Pope Gregory the 13th said, no, he made January 1st and the new year. Mm-hmm. And then
this is like a pissing contest.
Yeah. And then in 1752, England, through an act of parliament, made the calendar as it is today. So they made January 1st the new year and said, screw March. Screw new beginnings.
Oh,
we're going to start the new year off in cold and cold and dark.
That's quite hostile.
So March, spring equinox, used to be the beginning of the new year.
Which it still kind of is.
Which makes sense to me.
Yeah, it still kind of is. Well, that was very informative, Marie. I learned a lot from you.
And I learned a lot from you, my dear.
That was fun. I gotta say, so when we talked about doing this episode, I was like, yeah, that sounds cool. We'll do it. Like, we've never talked about this before. But honestly, like, researching, and it was fun to learn about this, the goddesses, and because Isthra is not the only goddess that's associated with Ostara. There's like a laundry list of them.
Right.
And I mean, we won't go into every single one of them, but we can kind of touch on some of their, you know, some of the things that they're known for. I don't know why I just did air quotes, because
she did. She totally did air quotes.
I did. Like, by my face.
Like, you can see her.
I know. I don't know why I do this.
So for Easter,
mm-hmm.
What do you do for Easter?
Well, okay, so before we go into what we do, let's go into some of the things that people have done over time.
Okay.
Let's touch on some of that. So we're literally going to butcher all kinds of stuff right now. But so a dynasty of Persian kings known as the Achaemenids celebrated the spring equinox with the festival of Nowruz, which means new day. Nowruz, new day. It's a celebration of hope and renewal still observed today in many Persian countries. Which is still kind of cool.
Oh, that's interesting.
I like when those...
Hey, I met a Persian once.
Cat?
No, a person.
A person?
Yeah.
I felt like there was a joke coming.
No. No.
Where?
In Rome, when Christy and I were in Rome last year. Yeah. I met a gentleman, and he was from Persia. I was like, I've never met a person from Persia.
I don't think I have either. And it's too bad that you didn't know about this, and you could have asked him if he celebrates Nowruz.
I totally would have.
Yeah. Because I would love to know what these celebrations are actually like. Because, you know, Easter in America, we get down with food. We get down. There's a church service, and there's, you know, I mean, we'll go back to that. We'll go back. This is how I get off topic. In any event, so Marie met a Persian. Very cool. I have not. I don't think I have. I don't know. It doesn't come up in conversation.
No. No, it was, you know, where are you from? Yeah. Where are you from?
Although, I don't know. Maybe it kind of does. Because, you know, people, if you look a little different, they're like, what are you?
Yeah.
Do you get that too?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah, I get that a lot. So maybe it does come up in conversation. I don't know. Maybe just for the two of us. I don't know. In any event, we'll just hop right back. So the Nowruz celebration. So they do this. It's like a 13-day celebration. People purify their homes, leap over fires, and it's all to welcome this time of year. And it's very...
Did you say leap over fires?
Leap over fires. Yes, ma'am.
That can be dangerous.
Yes, it can. I can think of a lot of ways right now that leaping over fire would not end well.
No.
But, you know, the Persians, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
They do.
I would not be brave enough to leap over a fire, but, you know.
No, I need liquid courage.
That'll make it worse. You think you're leaping, you've actually stumbled? Jesus. Oh no. Okay, so let's talk rabbits, which it's springtime. Let's talk rabbits. This is another so these are like things that have been practiced. They have a little magic, a little folklore, a little, you know where I'm going with this. Okay, so spring equinox, a time of fertility and sowing seeds, and so nature's fertility goes a little crazy. In medieval societies in Europe, the March hare was viewed as a major fertility symbol, which, you know, it's the rabbit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I wonder if this is where the... What's that thing where when women are pregnant, they talk about the rabbit or the... Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, I heard this forever ago, and I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, the rabbit's cooked or the rabbit's something. I don't know. I really should have looked that up. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I always thought it had something to do with the way they had to kill a rabbit and to take a pregnancy test or something like that.
So, guys, clearly we know what we're talking about. That's how you know you're pregnant. You kill a rabbit. If it dies.
Well, it was or something you attempt murder. They needed something from the rabbit to do the pregnancy test. That's the way I understood it. But I don't know all the details. And
is it like Groundhog's
Day? By the time I was old enough to have babies, there were pregnancy tests. So no rabbits were harmed. And
maybe they were never harmed. Maybe it was like if you see a rabbit, you know, like run across your porch or something, then,
you know, I got to Google this now.
I know. I feel like we should have done it before the episode because, you know, we're so knowledgeable. Anyway, okay. So, you know, the one of you said a fertility symbol. Blah, 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 blah. Fast forward. Okay. So the March hare is a species of rabbit that is nocturnal most of the year. But in March, when mating season begins, there are bunnies everywhere.
Horny little bunnies.
Mm-hmm. Everywhere. The female of the species is super fecund and can conceive a second litter while still pregnant with a first. What a horror.
Oh, that's gotta suck.
Yeah. What is she doing?
Get pregnant while you're pregnant?
Close your legs, ma'am.
Oh my gosh.
Close your legs. Ugh. I know. It's not right.
That's awful.
Yes. It's like, you know.
It's like pregnant squared.
She was hitting thoughts. Pregnant squared. She was leaping on fires. Oh, God. So, as if that wasn't enough, the males tend to get frustrated when rebuffed by their mates and bounce around erratically when discouraged. Listen here, okay?
Okay,
this
that kind of
girl
that
is
kinda,
now that kinda, twice pregnant.
Yeah, but you know what? Men kind of get that way sometimes. They kind of hop around when
they
get rejected.
Do, but I'm like, sir.
Yeah.
She's got two batches in there. Two.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, like, give the girl a rest. I mean, come on. Oh, good Lord. Anyway. So, here's another one. The story of the Roman god Mithras, and, you know, if I'm butchering that, really, really sorry, is similar to the tale of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. So, Mithra was born at the winter solstice and resurrected in the spring. He helped his followers ascend to the realm of light after death. So, in one legend, Mithra, who was popular amongst members of the Roman military, was ordered by the sun to sacrifice a white bull. He reluctantly obeyed, but at the moment when his knife entered the creature's body, a miracle took place. The bull turned into the moon, and Mithra's cloak became the night sky. Where the bull's blood fell, flowers grew, and stalks of grain sprouted from its tail. Kind of cool.
Wow.
I mean, don't hurt any animals, but kind of cool.
That's quite the story.
Yeah, the bull turned into the moon.
Huh.
If an article of my clothing came off of my body and became part of the environment.
It's a pretty big piece of clothing.
Yeah. The night sky. I mean,
I've never heard that story before.
I haven't either. But, you know, all part of the folklore. Exciting. Okay, so here's another one. In ancient Rome, the followers of Cybele, which is another goddess, and I think that's how you pronounce her name, believe that their goddess had a consort who was born via a virgin birth.
How do you spell it?
Cybele.
Because my mind went to Sybil.
I thought Sybil too, but the E at the end.
Yeah.
So, born via a virgin birth. Rewind and fast forward. His name was Attis, and he died and was resurrected each year during the time of the vernal equinox on the Julian calendar between March 22nd and March 25th.
There you go, Julius Caesar.
That crafty little guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So meanwhile, the indigenous Mayan people in Central America have celebrated a spring equinox festival for 10 centuries. This, I think, is kind of cool. So at the ruins of Chichen Itza, the ancient Mayan city in Mexico, crowds gather on the spring and fall equinox to watch as the afternoon sun creates shadows that resemble a snake moving along the stairs of the 79-foot tall pyramid called El Castillo. So on the spring equinox, the snake descends the pyramid until it merges with a large serpent head, which is a sculpture, at the base of the structure. While the Maya were skilled astronomers, it's unknown whether they specifically designed the pyramid to align with the equinox and create this visual effect.
I wonder if those structures are still standing. I mean, can you still see that?
Well, it says they still gather there. They still do this, yeah. So they've been doing it for 10 centuries. That's a long time.
So they're like doing it this year.
Yeah, apparently.
Cool.
Right?
I have to YouTube that.
I know. That would be cool and creepy to see an enormous serpent.
But if they built structures to make that visual happen as the sun rose, I mean, it would suck if you had like a cloudy day.
But what if they did not do that on purpose? That is even cooler.
Oh, they had to have done it on purpose. You don't pull off something like that by accident.
I don't know. There are a lot of miracles. A lot of miracles.
Well, they were pretty smart cookies, too.
They were, but still. I really want to believe the universe just came in there. The universe comes in every equinox and is like, here you go, guys. A serpent. But, you know, at the same time, they did have the serpent head sculpture at the bottom of the structure. So I guess you do have to look at it and say, well, maybe they did create it so that the body eventually meets with the head.
Yeah, because that's pretty cool.
But
that's
pretty
cool visual.
I know. It's cool. It is cool to know what... You know what's crazy? So I think about this stuff. Like, I like reading these stories, these, you know, the folklore and the history and all that stuff. But I do think about, like, we get so accustomed to being in our little world, practicing our traditions, you know, day in, day out, year in, year out. But we don't often think about, like, at this very moment... Say we're like sitting around the Easter table and we're eating and we're, you know, ham in your face and whatever. And at that very moment around the world, someone else is like, what are they doing? You know,
how are they celebrating the same thing?
Yeah. Like we're in our own little bubble. We're always in our own little bubble. And if you think about it, we travel like so many miles around our home to go to the same store all the time and to go to the same, you know, bakery and the same, and it's like the same little world, same bubble all the time.
Right.
And then like around the world or, you know, two states over, one country over, it's so different. It's really cool.
Yes, it is. That's why I love to travel.
Yeah. There's so much culture and so many traditions and roots and I just love it.
There's a lot, mm-hmm. a lot of cultures to see and learn out mm-hmm. there.
It is. So, or there are rather. There are. Okay. So let's jump into some of the modern celebrations and things to do. So again, it's springtime. This is a good time of year to start your seedlings. Get out and start a garden. I really want to start a garden. I have a black thumb. So when I have a minute, I check Pinterest and I look on YouTube and I'm trying to become educated because my plants, they just despise me.
Aw.
No, it's true. I really try. I have one plant that I have had like easily 10 years and she is a corn plant. She is a hardy girl. I mean, I have gone weeks without watering her before, and then I'm like, oh, crap. And then I water her, and we're good.
See, I had one of those, but I think I watered it too much.
That's usually what I do. I overfeed. It's good that I'm not a parent, like, to a person. My dogs, like, I know, it's very strict. It's, you know, morning and evening, and they get the same stuff, and their vitamins, and... But a two-legged person...
They tell you when they're hungry.
No, I'm sure they do, but that kid would look like a blimp. I would keep feeding it. Every time it made a sound, I'm like, here you go. Here's a meat stick. It's not good. Good Lord.
Oh, you'd be a great mom.
I really would. I'm great at everything.
Yes, you are.
Just kidding. Okay, so if you grow an herb garden, start getting the soil ready for late spring plantings. Like, this is the time. You till, you weed, you...
Okay, that's the part I don't like.
You know what?
Tilling and weeding. I'm all about planting.
It's true. It's
but
true.
I hate weeding.
If someone could just give me a fully grown garden, I would really appreciate it. I would like a...
I love growing things and watering them and taking care
of
them.
Yeah, it is fun.
But it's the whole pulling the weeds that I just don't
like. It's the prep, and I really want to get into it. So I'm trying to decide if I want to do like a container garden or do like a box, like a raised box.
Mm-hmm.
They both sound like a lot of work. Although the containers sound easier because I can move it around.
Right.
I don't know.
I do better with containers that I can bring in and out.
That's
that way
true.
When it's cold outside, I can bring them in. And
yeah.
But now I've got some containers that I've got to put outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And plus, like with a container, it's not like a full blown commitment. You know what I mean? When it's in the ground, it's there.
Oh, you can always move it.
That's risky for me. So let me tell you. I have this little hydrangea that I got, and she, like, you know, she was a gift. So it was just like the one, like, pretty pink flower, like, all, you know, whatever. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to keep her and make her mine. And I overwatered her, as I tend to do, and she started to perish. So I put her outside, and I'm like, you be out here with the elements and the sprinklers, and let's see what you do. And she still was unhappy with me. And really expired. I mean, she was really going. And everyone in the house was like, I think it's time to call it. And I was like, no, I won't. And do you know what happened? So I guess, like, I was moving her around because I really wanted her to get hit by the sprinklers. So she's, you know, getting watered early, and then she's in the sun and partial shade and whatever. And so I moved her, and then I watered her because I'm like, you're definitely not getting water. What's going on? Watered her, and she started springing back to life. I was like, I knew you had it in you. You weren't dead. So all those people that said give up on her and call it, I was like,
what time of year was it when she came back?
Oh, this is just in the last few weeks.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's springtime. She's coming back.
So my mom was over at the house, and she trimmed her down. She's like, you gotta cut this stuff off. I'm like, why don't you tell me that? Like, I told you about my hydrangea. Why don't you don't keep your knowledge to yourself. So she trimmed her down, and she is looking so cute. She has all these pretty little green leaves and these little buds that are, oh my God, I was like, look at you. I'm so proud. I'm mega proud. And you know what I've done? Nothing. She is outside where she belongs. So I was like, indoor plants. Let's talk. You guys need to be outside.
It's springtime. Mm-hmm. It's they're all popping out now.
They are. I also got a succulent bunch at Home Depot, and they are so cute and colorful. There's like easily 7 little plants in there, plants. And I feel like I can do well with succulents. I really do. And they're all the rage right now. Like, everybody's got a damn succulent.
Right.
So it comes with, it's those plants. And I like when plants come with instructions, although hard as I try to follow, I don't do it. And it's like, oh, when it's like this, water it. And I think it's like that, and it's not. And then I overwater. You know what I'm talking about. It's a mess. So I'm glad. I'm thankful for the springtime. I'm thankful that the earth is helping my little hydrangea, and she's coming back. And right now she's sitting in the backyard where she gets hit by the sprinklers, and she's got sunshine and shade. Because maybe she was also getting too much sunshine before. I don't know. Anyway, all this to say, I really want to start a garden, but I would like someone to gift it to me.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
And that's my thing. If I had more time, I could do a garden. I did them when I was a kid and was had good luck with it. But as an adult, not enough hours in the day, not enough hours in the week.
Yeah, and it's always impressive to me when, I mean, my grandmother was amazing with plants, amazing. And I love watching Fixer Upper with Joanna Gaines, and she is amazing with her garden and teaching her kids, you know, to prune and what this is and what to do, and you see this, and it's just a gift. I'm like, good Lord, that's amazing. Like, to be that connected with the earth, and it's very cool.
Yeah, you got to talk to your plants and love them and read them. And
I do, but they're like, this girl is on another level of just crazy, and we can't get down. So where were we? We were talking about seedlings and starting your garden. So this is the time of year. You want to tend to the earth or your raised flower bed or your containers or whatever it is. And you want to observe it. I mean, and like Marie said, so it sounds funny, but legitimately, like, you do want to talk to your plants, and you do want to, it's almost like meditation. Like, you put your hands on the soil and you're putting your energy into it, you know, so don't go in all pissed off, because maybe that's not going to produce good stuff.
You know, and unless, I've heard people saying weeding, pulling weeds for them is relaxing.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
And I'm like, no, when I pull weeds, I get pissed off because they come back.
They do. Sons of bees. They do come back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Bastards.
I know. It's okay, Marie. It's okay. But there is something about just being one like that with the earth, you know, and even if it's in a pot, the soil, like putting your hands on the soil and really just having that connection with that living being, that plant.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing, like you said, like seeing it go from like a seedling or a small little plant to something larger that, you know, whether it's meant to produce something or not, it's just so cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's very cool. I don't know. Anyway. So some of the things to do that you can do. So you can do an earth meditation.
Yes.
This is a good time. So there is such a thing as grounding, which that's not what this is, the earth meditation. The ground, or earthing, I'm sorry, earthing. Where we've talked about this, haven't we? Where, I mean, they have things you can use indoors, but it just doesn't seem like the same to me.
No, you got to be outside.
Yeah. So earthing is you go outside in the soil, in the grass, in the sand, and you, you're in bare feet. And you really just like you sit or you lay on the surface, whatever it is, the grass, soil, the sand, the, you know, the shoreline where the water meets the sand. I mean, and you recharge like that. Like you can sit there and meditate, but you are connecting with the earth and you are earthing. You are letting the earth become part of you. You're becoming part of the earth, and it is supposed to be incredible for recharging your body and for healing, all kinds of stuff. If you guys have never heard of it, please look it up.
I feel like when I try to make it out to the beach every so often, and it's like you said, your feet are in the sand, you know, the water's coming over you. And when I leave, I just feel like my whole being has just been rebooted.
Mm-hmm. And you feel grounded.
Yes,
and
I feel so good.
It's true. So I have been trying to get outside like a couple times a week. So I come home from work and I'll go outside with my dogs and I will quickly like take off my sneakers and my socks and just put my feet on the grass while I sit and let them run around and, you know, lick my face and whatever. And it's just nice. I'm like, I just take a few minutes and it's like 5-10 minutes, like really nothing more than that. But it does feel really good. Whether it's, hello, Sandy.
Sorry.
Whether it's, you know, sunny, cloudy, whatever, it really does feel so, so good. So something to consider. So earth meditation. So this is something you can do where kind of along the same lines where you want to find a nice quiet spot and have as much contact with the earth as you can. So if that's, you know, like you're in shorts and a tank top or whatever, you lay, you sit, whatever it is, obviously not on an anthill or be safe about it, but you make as much contact as you can with the earth and you use all of your senses to attune to the earth, and you relax, you focus on your breath, you focus on the sense around you, like a typical meditation, except now you're doing like a meditation while earthing, and you're doing an earth meditation, and you relax, you know, focus on what you smell. Is it freshly cut grass? Is it the damp earth, flowers, leaves? Do you feel a breeze hitting you? How does that make you feel? So those are the things, and you know, like a typical meditation. So I won't go into all that stuff, but another really cool thing to do. So, you know, when you finish your earth meditation, you give gratitude to the earth and the, you know, the earth beneath you and the sky above you. And you just, you know, see how you feel afterwards. Did you receive any messages? Did you see any symbols? Did you see any of that? And what does that mean to you? Because, you know, if you had your eyes closed and you saw a flying saucer, what does that mean to you? How right. does it make you feel? You know, I mean, that might be very specific yeah. to you, and hopefully it is.
Yeah. And, you know, and this is the time of year, like mm-hmm. we said before, for new beginnings. You might be getting a message to start a new project.
Right.
Or to release something so you can accept something new.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, we've talked about our own meditation practices in a few of the recent episodes. And I, for the first time, like 2 weeks ago, for the first time in a long time, meditated. I was so happy. I was like, you know what? I'm going to stop everything I'm doing.
Feels good.
Yes, it felt so good. And I just said, I'm going to go in and just do like 5-10 minutes, no pressure. It was like 30 plus minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Like, I got in it. Sanderson, hello. Like, he will not be ignored. He is rubbing on my laptop. He's rubbing on my backpack. He's all over the place. So it did feel really good. And, you know, it was like 2 weeks ago. So I am going to get on a regular schedule. I would really like to. So I'm not putting pressure on myself. When I have the time, I'm going to do it. And I need to start working to make the time. But I got to say, like, it felt so, so good. And then tonight when I got to Marie's house, we saged each other. And that felt incredible, just like the last time. So, you know, at a minimum, I want to at least do that and go back to these practices that made me feel so reconnected and just so good. So on to other things you can do for Astara. You can do prayers. So there are, you can look these up. They have garden blessing prayers, resurrection of the earth prayers, honoring the goddess of spring prayers. I mean, there are so many different prayers. So do you have to be pagan, Wiccan, Christian, whatever? Like, you don't have to be a specific faith. It's what resonates for you.
Right. You find the prayer that works for mm-hmm. you.
And don't think of it so much as like a prayer associated with faith. It's, you know, a chant, a saying, a song, whatever it is. You know, like, I remember Lily talking about, you know, how she struggled with her religion and getting into this kind of practice, and
right, with Reiki and,
yeah, and then mm-hmm. she realized, you know, that prayer is just,
it's all connected,
right? So that was really cool, that connection that she made. So same kind of thing. Don't feel like if you are, you know, one specific religion that you can't do these other things. Like, do what resonates with you, for you, and, you know, what makes you happy. So what else can you do and use? How about herbs are very live and of the springtime and of rebirth. So you can use herbs in your Ostara and gardening magic. And there's lavender, there's lily of the valley, there's thyme, tarragon, there's lemon balm, there's honeysuckle, there's rose hip, there's, I mean, all kinds of.
I think my favorite's jasmine.
Oh, yes. Jasmine smells so good. Oh my God. You can use daffodil. You can use, I mean, there's really all kinds of stuff. So what else? Stones. The crystals.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Crystals. So I think I told you, Marie, I got a new pendulum because I couldn't find my other one.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, when we did Reiki level three, which it's not even really called Reiki. It's
got a different name. Mm-hmm.
It has a different name because it's so yeah. advanced and there's so much that's involved. Anyway, I digress. So when we did our level three class, we received 7, I think, selenite crystals for the chakras. No, there were more.
Yeah, there were more than that.
It was like double that.
It was, yeah.
So we received those and they're so pretty. They look like miniature coasters. Like they're just round discs. And yeah, they're discs. They're super pretty. So we received those. We received some other crystals, like, I don't know, 2 to 4 others. And I also had my original pendulum in class. Since class ended, I have not been able to find any of those. So the discs, the other crystals we got, or my pendulum. And I was like, how did they disappear? Because those crystals are big.
Right.
Those selenite discs, like you chuck one at someone and that is a concussion.
Yeah, you're going to draw blood.
Mm-hmm, all day long. So I could not believe that I had misplaced them. I thought I left them somewhere, like at our teacher's house or in Lily's car, because we carpooled together to go to class. And during the move, I looked everywhere. I'm like, surely during the move, I'm going to find them. And no, I did not. And then I do remember one night when I was packing, I'm like, oh, I think they're in this box. Like I opened 2 or 3 boxes thinking my crystals were in there. And no, they were not. And you know that I just found them. When did I text you and tell you that? It was like a few days ago.
Yeah.
So I have looked through my boxes and I have looked through my boxes and not looking for my crystals because I gave up on that. And I've just looking for something else. It was like, I don't even know what it was I was looking for.
Within the same box?
One of the boxes that I've looked at before. Yes.
And they just appeared.
So let me tell you how this went down. I opened the box and there was like, I have this... It doesn't matter. There was a box inside a box. Let's just say that, like, for the sake of the story. So I open the box. There's stuff in there. I take it out. There's another box at the bottom. And it's a sizable box, like the size of my laptop. And I opened it reluctantly because I'm like, it's not in there. And I open it and I'm like, what is that? I mean, I opened the lid and I looked in and it's like there's really nothing in there. So I was about to close it and like the light hit something. And I look again, all of the crystals are laid out in a row. I mean, like the discs, they're all, I'm like, how in the F did I miss this? It was the craziest thing. So my pendulum is in there in the little black bag. All the crystals we got in our level 3 class.
Well, I'm glad you found them.
Me too. But I was kind of pissed. You know, like when you have a kid and they run off and you're afraid and they come back and then you want to like beat their ass because you're so mad. It was like that. I was like, I'm kind of happy to see you guys. Where the hell have you been? Like, I needed you. I was a little mad. Anyway, so back to the topic at hand. The crystals that you can use during this time of year and for any springtime rituals, because you know, don't forget, we haven't done an episode on this and we're going to, but you can use crystals for a lot of different things, including gardening.
Yes.
Including, you know, putting crystals in your plants for different reasons. Yes. So you can use clear quartz, rose quartz, agate, lapis lazuli, amazonite, garnet, and that's just a few. Do you have more? Is that kind of the list you saw too?
Yeah, aquamarine, amethyst.
Mm-hmm. There are a ton. Yeah. There are a ton. So just because we did not mention them doesn't mean that they cannot be used. So keep that in mind. You can perform seed blessings and indoor planting rituals. And don't be put off by the word ritual or, you know, blessings. Or it's really just a tradition. Like, if you think about it, when you make breakfast, you kind of do the same thing every time. If you think about it, when you get ready in the morning, you kind of do the same thing every time. Could you call it a ritual? You kind of can.
Ritual, habit.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like the order of the way you do things and it's, you know, whatever the case. So just think about that. So Osara, you can have a traditional breakfast, which is buns, ham, eggs, all of which sounds amazing to me because I started the springtime with a new meal plan.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell you how delicious it is because you guys get ready for this. Literally, I am eating air and swallowing saliva. That's it. Weight lost. You're welcome. That's it. But it's paying off because I've dropped quite a few lbs, but I'm unhappy as hell.
So no carbonara today.
No, no carbonara. So before I came here, I had a snack, which was, I found these, this cashew yogurt, like cashew milk yogurt.
Yeah.
So the big push on what I'm doing right now is to fight inflammation.
Okay.
So inflammation, you know, really quick tangent, guys, I'm really sorry. Inflammation is responsible for a lot of things, a lot of illnesses, a lot of cancers, a lot of you name it. So on some level, we all have some form of inflammation. And so I am doing it for the purpose of my injuries, my old injuries, which is my elbows and my Achilles tendons, which, you know, both of my elbows still bother me. Both of my ankles still bother me. So I want to see if I can combat some of the discomfort that I feel by combating the inflammation in my body, which I know there's got to be inflammation. So this is like lettuce and a protein, like lettuce and meat. That's seriously what it is. Like it is, it's really strict, but I know that the purpose behind it is to get rid of inflammation. The bonus is weight loss, because if you have weight to lose, your body knows what it's supposed to do. If you don't, then you're not going to lose weight. You're just going to fight the inflammation. So it's very similar to like a mega strict keto. There's no dairy. There's no, I mean, it's a Dr. Axe thing. So if you guys like Dr. Axe, check him out and you'll see what I'm talking about. So it's, you know, the milk you can drink is like goat's milk and sheep's milk. If you do dairy, it has to be, it can be from like a nut milk and from goat and sheep's milk, that kind of thing. So
interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So I do feel the difference.
You feel better?
I do. I do feel better. I don't feel bloated all the time. I don't feel, you know, the swelling in some of my joints, you know, my elbows and stuff. It's just, it hasn't been long enough for me to really notice a difference in, like, you know, the places where I have these old injuries, but time will tell.
Well, and I think that's part of what spring's about, doing a detox.
Exactly. And OMG, is this a detox? I juice every day. Every day. So I'm trying to do juice like 3 days now, like 3 days worth, so mm-hmm. that I have it and I, you know, put it in mason jars and wrap them in brown paper bags so the light isn't hitting it and it's not disrupting the whatevers, and it's a whole thing. But I am feeling better.
Oh, good. And that's so, what it's all about.
Yeah. So worth the time, worth the effort. But I was telling Marie when I got here that yesterday, I don't know what I was watching, it has no relevance, but whoever was on my screen on my TV was eating like a sub sandwich with thick ass bread and a plate of like Ruffle chips, and I wanted to dive into that screen because
I could put away a bag of Ruffles.
Yes, as can I.
A bag.
As can I, with a good sub sandwich and like pickles.
I don't need the pickles. I don't need the sandwich. I could just do the.
Oh, I can too. Ruffles. I can get down with a freaking Ruffle. Mm-hmm. A Ruffle. I will make a Ruffle my bitch. I just will. Okay. Back to Ostara. I keep doing this. I'm sorry, you guys, but I just had to tell you what I've been doing and how I'm not going to enjoy buns and ham. I can't have the eggs. There's no pork on this because pork is very inflammatory. Did you know that?
No.
Yes. That means delicious, thick cut bacon? No.
What?
Yes. I was like, how dare you, Dr. Axe? How dare you?
Just think. Detox, spring, detox.
Don't give a crap. I don't give a crap. Anyway, so you can make natural egg dyes from herbs. You can color eggs. No, I'm just mad. You can make hot cross buns to honor the union of the earth and the sun for spring. / the excellent I can
decorate a little egg and paint a little piece of bacon on it for you. That makes you feel better.
That's super mean. I'd be so mad. I would chuck that egg. Oh, that's just mean. Oh, good. I want some Baskin Robbins.
Oh, yeah. There's a restaurant up the road. It's got salted caramel milkshakes.
What?
Yes.
What restaurant is that?
Whataburger.
What?
Yeah.
That's just mean.
Yeah. I'm like, just drive away, drive Seriously. Away, drive away. I don't need that.
Oh my God. You know what has gotten way better that I don't even feel is my ulcer.
Really?
Yes. But I will tell you. So in my effort to combat some of the cravings, like some of the sweet cravings, mm-hmm. I really wanted some ice cream. So I found a dairy-free, like made with coconut milk, I think, or okay. almond milk. I don't know. And the list of ingredients was short in comparison to some of the other brands sure. that have like an alternative recipe. And all stuff that I could pronounce, all stuff that I, you know, felt pretty comfortable. I could go to a shelf and pick off. And so I ate it and immediately felt super bloated. And I felt like that tinge of the burn. So really? Something in there, I was like, I really wanted you to agree with me, but it did not. So that's the only way to know. So
trial and error.
Right. So I was like, nice try.
And you know what? And that's what I did when I saw the sign for the salted caramel milkshake and I went, oh, and as I'm driving away, I'm thinking, you know how you would feel after that milkshake.
Mm-hmm. And you know what?
And then that just turned me off and said, okay, keep driving.
I know, but I would say this. If I had eaten that ice cream and it tasted amazing and I still felt like that, I would have taken it.
Some things are worth the pain.
Yeah, like french fries and pizza and that sub sandwich with a large like family size bag of Ruffles.
I can do a family size right? bag of Ruffles
when I have when I like get over. So I want to hit certain milestones like weight wise and you know, health wise and feel better. And as I do, I am one of these times I'm gonna come over here and I'm going to say like, oh, we're recording tonight. We're not, because we're going to be so far ahead with episodes. And I'm going to bring you a family size bag of Ruffles. And I'm going to bring me a family size bag of Ruffles and like a bottle of wine and maybe some water, because we should be kind of healthy. And we're going to wash it all down. All of it.
Sounds good.
And I'm going to stare at you while you eat. And you're going to stare at me. And I'm going to love you hard. That's what we're going to do.
That sounds so nasty.
Look at us.
Ridiculous. I know, when I hit a milestone,
yeah,
I'm going to Kentucky Fried Chicken.
For what? Oh, is that your place?
For some KFC. Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I've always been a huge fan of their mashed potatoes and gravy.
Mm-hmm.
I like their coleslaw too. I don't usually like coleslaw, but their coleslaw I like. It's got to be like that elementary school or middle school like bag that just says coleslaw. There's like no list of ingredients, but whatever it is, it's super toxic and really good. I'm positive. So that's gonna be your cheat day.
Oh, KFC.
Yeah.
What
are you gonna get?
Oh yeah, fried chicken. Oh. I'm gonna get the
original or extra crispy.
Both.
Oh
yeah, I'm gonna get both. That's
scandalous.
And the roasted. Oh, I'm gonna get all three. Oh,
you're
yeah.
going in hard.
Yeah,
you're gonna
I'm
be
gonna
so
get,
sick.
I'm gonna get one of one or all three with the mashed potatoes and the gravy.
Oh yeah, and the biscuit.
Oh,
are you gonna get extra biscuits?
I don't know if I'll do extra biscuits.
I should get one extra.
I gotta leave room for the other stuff.
What?
The mashed potatoes, and the gravy, and the chicken.
Oh gosh, you know whose fried chicken I really like is Popeye's.
Ooh, me too.
Right? And their red beans and rice, get out. Mm-hmm. Get out.
So you, can you tell that we're on our spring detox? We keep talking, we keep going back to food.
I know. KFC chicken just always makes me feel sick. It's like greasy.
Oh, yeah.
Like I can do their chicken tenders.
Oh, yeah.
But
I'll feel greasy in my gut for 2 days. Yeah. But you know what?
It's rough. It's rough.
So good. So good.
It is good.
And on another milestone, we have a German restaurant up the street.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, they have a buffet. Oh yeah,
a buffet of what?
German food.
Like what?
Like the,
like anything potatoes.
Like yeah, like the I schnitzel and the sausage and those little egg noodle things.
Mm-hmm,
is that the schnitzel? Anyways. It's all
food.
Good.
Anyway, food.
No, German food buffet. Mm. Yes. Okay. All right. Stop. 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 Stop.
I don't want to
focus. You're making my mouth water.
Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. I have a
stupid meat stick and some lemon water.
Okay. Easter.
I don't want to. You talk about it.
Oh gosh. Okay. Easter detox. Good thing.
It really is a good thing. I am. So stupid. I just think about it like every morning when I'm working out. So I work out hard 6 days a week. And now I've incorporated, which they say the diet is 80% of your success.
Yes.
80%. And yeah. I'm like, whoever put that out in the universe, I just want to sucker punch them right in the throat. I know it's true, but I don't want to hear it.
Right.
I want to outwork the bad crap I eat, but it's not a thing.
No.
It is not. Let me tell you something. If I could 10,000 steps every day and work off an entire pizza, I would effing do it in a second and a bag of Ruffles.
Oh yeah. If I could, if I could work off the bad food, I would.
And not feel bad.
But it's not a thing.
It's not a thing. So it's just mean.
It's got to be healthy food. And then the workouts just kind of supplement
it. It's true. It's true.
But the older you get, the harder it is.
Marie Rose, I don't want to hear that. I don't.
Yeah, well.
I want to age like Benjamin Button. And I'm really hoping that this meal plan is doing that for me. I will say this. So I've been working out regularly. Like, I don't think I've missed a day.
But good for you.
I really don't think I have. Like, I have gone to the gym with my stomach burning. Like, I haven't slept. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go.
Good for you.
I mean, if I'm like mega sick, I won't do it. I know, you know, I don't like to push myself like that. However, so I have been really consistent. I've been taking my vitamins. Where I am lacking, because now like I'm doing all the right stuff, is water intake. I am so bad at drinking water. So when I put something like lemon juice in it, like real lemon,
right,
then I can get down and I can drink. I can do it. So that's why I have this guy with me right here.
Your Yeti cup, Arctic cup.
So that I can drink water. So I tend to drink more water. So I'm trying. So that's the one area because, you know, and I'm noticing it. Like I see it in my skin, you know, obviously dropping some weight because I'm, you know, eating grass and nothing else. Washing it down with lemon water. So I'm seeing the difference. My hair is growing fast.
Oh, that's good.
So things that, you know, there's no way I'm going to make up for all the damage I've done in these Houston trips because they just take it out of us.
Yes.
They really do. So all I can do now is, you know, go from this point and do what I can to get healthy. So I am feeling a lot better.
That's good. Good for you.
Like a person.
Like a person.
Yeah, like a person.
So, as opposed to before.
So for Easter, when is Easter? It's like at the end of the month, right?
The 21st.
April
21st.
So by then, I feel like I should definitely have a cheat day.
A piece of ham, some bacon.
I don't know. You know what? I might forego the ham. Ham in general just makes me swell up.
For all the salt?
Yes. And I mean, I will be puffy for days like a puffer fish. I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, you know, what is that? Edema or something? Like you can press on your... Your skin, your shin or something, and like your fingerprint, just like where you press down, just like
you leave a fingerprint on yourself,
an indentation. So I might forego the ham, as yummy as it is, and just like get down and eat my body weight in some mashed potatoes and gravy. Because why not?
You know? It's Easter.
Right. Because why not? So
great.
What do you guys do for Easter?
Oh, We usually spend it with my boyfriend's family. We do different things. It's you know, it depends on my daughter. She, you know, we've done some, you know, different things throughout the years as she's grown up. When she was little, you know, we'd go into town because they had these, you know, Easter runs, and where they just lay out 1,000 eggs across a baseball field, and they just go and collect all the eggs, and some of them have prizes inside them, and that was always fun, and going to church and having the Easter egg hunts at church. Well, then as she grew up, you know, then she, now she going to church, and she's you know, on the team that hides the Easter eggs mm-hmm. for the little kids and whatnot. And, you know, I still want to make her a basket and this and that and everything else. Yeah. But,
well, that sounds like fun. We've never had like a tradition where we do the same thing every single year. And by that, I mean, like, we don't, you know, I'll get together and go to a church service and then mm-hmm. do this meal, the specific meal or whatever. But our family does get together and, you know, we do a big family meal. And it's one of those times where a lot of us try to get together so that we can just reconnect. And we say like a family prayer and enjoy each other's company. And it's just a lot of fun. A lot of fun. It's like the springtime Thanksgiving.
That is a very good description. Mm-hmm. A springtime Thanksgiving. Yes.
And my mom gets these amazing rolls. Oh my God. They're like Sister Schubert or something. I have to ask her, but they are the bee's knees. They're so good.
Are they like sweet, like Hawaiian bread? No. Or?
No, they're just like a yummy roll, and they come in this little aluminum,
like a KFC roll.
No, better.
Like a biscuit.
No, so good. I'm gonna bring one to you. No, I'm gonna bring you two,
like a Jim and Nick's cheesy biscuit.
They're just rattling off all the biscuits.
Well, I'm rattling off all the good ones.
It's like, I'm trying to think of a place that has something similar. I don't know, but she like puts, when they come out of the oven, she slathers them with butter on the top and they're like glistening in the kitchen light, and they are so good.
It's like a Orion's yeast roll.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm with you.
Oh God, they're so good.
Okay, I'm with you now. Yes.
Okay, maybe I'll forego everything and just eat my body weight and rolls. That is what I'll do. I think that's what I'm going to do. So that's what we do. We just get together. We have a big family dinner. So it'll be fun. I look forward to those family dinners, though, like the family get-togethers. Oh, yeah. I do have a lot of family here.
You're so lucky in that respect.
I do feel lucky, but I mean, we're all going in so many different directions that we don't get to see each other very much. So when we do have those dinners, you know, be it for a holiday or somebody will just say, hey, for no good reason, let's just get together, which that doesn't happen a lot. But, you know, for a holiday or something, when everybody makes the time to get together, it is really nice because, you know, it is a crying shame that we might go months without seeing each other.
We live like the thing. You have a life going on. You've got work. Everybody, and you've got kids, and mm-hmm. this and that, and
everyone has like a million different things. Right. So, you know, there are never any hard feelings. It's just how it is. Right. You know, everybody understands.
But you make the effort to get together, mm-hmm. and that's the important thing.
Exactly. So I really do look forward to it. We see each other. We reconnect, and it's like no time lost at all. And then we're back at it. That's right. So. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, this was awesome.
A whole lot of fun. I enjoyed learning about this stuff. I feel like you're a superb teacher and you should teach the first grade or kindergarten. And I would be one of your students.
Now, class.
I know. And you can just let me be in charge when you have to leave the room. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Bobby. You watch the class.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
I did that one time.
What?
I took over the class.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what
grade. Like, were you part of the class?
Yeah. Our teacher didn't show up.
How old were you?
I can't remember. Had to have been junior high school.
Really?
Middle school, junior high school. Her name was Miss Stevenson, and she didn't show up for class, and we didn't know what to do.
Where the hell was she?
I don't know. And so we're all looking at each other, and it's like, well, we can't leave because the school bus ain't going to take us home.
Enter Marie Rose.
What are we going to do? I said, F it. We had homework, and I did my homework, dadgummit. So I went and sat at her desk, and we went over our homework.
Oh, man.
And literally halfway through class, like 30 minutes into class, she walked in. And it's like, oh, good. And she saw what was happening and went, keep going. And she sat in the back of the class and let us finish.
Because she was hungover.
Maybe.
Miss Stevenson?
Yeah.
Could you call into the show, please, and tell us what you were doing?
Miss Stevenson. I never found out what she did, but she came in and it's like, okay, I'm not going to interrupt this. And she took a desk and silently did her thing. And we finished going over homework and the bell rang and we left.
That was incredibly irresponsible of her, but I'm very proud of you.
Oh, I was, I was that kid.
That would not have been me. It would not. I would have been writing notes with my friends.
Well, that's what we did the first part of class. And, I mean, we were like cutting up. I was like, you know what? I did my homework. And what is she going to do when she gets here? We're going to go over her homework. So let's get it done now. That way we won't have to do it tomorrow.
You're so studious.
So, but yeah, we did a lot of cutting up.
See, if I was in your class, you wouldn't have done that because I would have been like, no, sit here so we can write notes. Let's write about Jimmy.
Jimmy was in that class.
I knew it.
I had a Jimmy in that class.
I'm not a medium for nothing.
Yeah.
How fun. Remember those days when everything was so simple and we're like, we can't wait to get out of here.
Oh, gosh.
Mm-hmm. I'm tired of adulting. I want to go back to eating Burger King.
And not gain any weight when you do it.
Oh, my God. Did I tell you about the box I found? With my, listen.
No, you just told me about the box you found with your crystals in it.
No. So I was like, there was this box that was ripped. Like I was rearranging stuff. One of them was like mega ripped. So I'm like, let me take the stuff out of this one.
From the move?
Yeah. No, just like over time. Because okay. I think it used to be in my parents' garage. So I'm like, let me take the stuff out of this box, put it in another one. So everything's fine. I start pulling stuff out of this box. And what did I find? My effing cheer uniform.
Oh, yes. My gosh.
Listen, I took the effing skirt out and I'm like, who the F fits in this thing? Who? I was like, I can't believe there was a day in this universe when I had to fit into this skirt. Oh my God.
And I'm sure you look so cute.
I'm sure I did. I must have. I want to put it up on the fridge for body goals. And then I found this sweatshirt from when I was in eighth grade. Uh-huh. It's from a dance studio where I used to dance and perform. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And it was so little. I'm like, what the heck?
Oh my gosh.
Like, who fits in there?
Yeah, I don't have any of that.
Well, I didn't think I did.
I had to return my uniforms back to the school.
You did? We bought ours.
No.
No, we paid for those. And yeah,
we didn't have that much money. We had to return the uniforms back to the school.
No, yeah. That was our only choice, was to buy them. Like, I remember, like, we went to summer camp and I had to borrow the uniform of one of the cheerleaders that had just graduated. Mm-hmm. Because mine hadn't arrived yet. But I remember going, like, we all went to the fitting and they're like, your skirt can't be shorter than such and such. And I mean, I remember that. And I had like two uniforms because sometimes we had to wear them like several times in the week. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm way off topic again. It just like, it blew my freaking mind. I'm like, I cannot believe I was like that small. And I always like, you know, I have a Dominican body. I've got, you know, legs and a butt. And that was like before J-Lo made it super popular. And so like, I wanted to look like my friends, which, you know, they were like super thin, which I was just, I have, you know, I've always had like a butt and legs. So I look at old pictures and I'm like, oh my God, look at those muscular legs. And I hated it then. Hated it. I was like, I want to look like the stick girls.
No, you don't want to be a stick girl.
Not now.
Mm-mm.
Not now, but I do want to fit into that skirt. So anyway, you guys, that is our episode. We have digressed so freaking much.
But had so much fun.
We did have a lot of fun. This is what it's about. It is the rebirth. This is our rebirth. Spring
yes.
episode.
Yes. And we emerging.
We are rebirthing.
Re-emerging.
Yes. So thank you guys for hanging with us again, as you always do. We super appreciate you guys. There's so much stuff that we're working on. I'm not even going to repeat the usual stuff because honestly, like, I've been so busy. I haven't been on social media. It's been a couple weeks, so I need to get my head back in the game and get going on all that stuff. But you can still follow us, you guys, because I am going to get back on there. And until I do, there's still content on there, I promise you. So Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and it's Media Matters or The Media Matters. And we're also at themediamatters@gmail.com. And, you know, all that good stuff. If you guys have any of your own Easter traditions that you want to share with us, let us know. Let us know. We would love to know, and we will share it with our friends to the show.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to hear it.
Right? I think it's fun to hear about people's traditions, their roots, what their families do. I love it. Anyway, you guys, so there I go digressing again because I like talking to you guys. It doesn't feel weird at all.
No.
Talk into a mic and know that I'm talking to all my friends.
No, it's all good.
Right?
Right.
It's totally normal. Okay. So this episode is going out to all of you, whether you are gardeners or not, whether you are a goddess or not, which everyone's a goddess. God and goddess. We've all got it in us. So happy spring. I hope you guys have a kick-ass time rebirthing and coming about and whatnot. And we will see you next week. Love you guys.
Love you.